Awesome. Welcome if you're joining us now, online or later. Good to have you here. Time for the Word. Awesome. Well, I remember, Pauline kind of reminded me, when we are doing our Bible study this week on Thursday night, we're going to be studying this message. Okay, so like Pauline said, well, maybe better, shall I take notes? Well, you don't have to take notes because what I do when I get home is write this sermon out as an essay and put it online. So if you don't want to take notes, get my transcript later on the website. But sometimes it's, some people learn by taking notes. I know it's a few people taking notes. So yes, but we're having a little bit of a change on Thursday night. We've finished the Healing University, which we started at the start. Can you believe that? We started that last March. At the start of lockdown when we moved into... We're having communions every day for a while, remember?
Yeah.
That was great. We're now down to two nights a week in the morning. Monday night, Thursday night, Saturday morning, if you want to join us online for communion and a Bible study on Thursday night. So Thursday night we're going to be studying this. And I will be asking questions. And the first person I'll ask a question will be... No, I'm not going to do it. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for our morning. Thank you for being able to gather together and worship you, Father. Even in restrictions, even when we're not allowed to do this, not allowed to do that, we know that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. So we thank you for that this morning, Father. Thank you, we are now moving to look at your word. Thank you, we're about to plant some seeds. Thank you for receptive hearts that are ready and waiting for these seeds. Hallelujah. I thank you for the eagerness of people that have Bible studies. Amen. So thank you that these seeds are going to be received in gladness and with thanksgiving. Speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so these seeds can grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do say that every time I preach, speak out understanding, and that's important when we're doing our own study. You know, it's never a waste of time to read the word. Never. But you get the most out of it if you understand it. Awesome. Let me just check this. People saying they can't hear. So I'm just going to stop this. Start it again. The wonders of technology. Okay. Let's see if this will start this time. I'm trying to fix the sound. If you can lip read. Oh, the wonders of technology. Come on. You know what I think the problem is? It's my big, fat, podgy fingers. I'm trying to press two buttons at the same time. And I kind of get two fingers to do it. But one finger looks like it's near enough. One, two, three. What's that? Link. So hopefully that should be the sound on now. If it's not, you can just watch me. I'm recording it on here as well. So we'll... Anyway. It's like I say every week, Paul didn't have this trouble when he went to Ephesus, did he? He just went in and preached the word. Hallelujah. So, well, we'll see if technology works. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Amen. You're here, you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. So week three of my compassion series. We had an intro, and that was good. And then last week we did some Hebrew, didn't we?
Yeah.
We looked at the compassion of God in the Old Testament. I haven't written out the words, and I'm not sure if I can remember them. It was like Rakam, Rakum, and Rakam, or something like that. And that was fun. That was fun looking at that. But we saw that word, compassion, compassionate, rooted in love. Rooted in love. And it talked about love as in cherishing the fetus. And I loved that. We saw pictures of God's compassion, like the love of a mother and the love of a father, which was great. We saw God's compassion coming to us through his love, from his love. He loved and cared for us. He saw the need. He was moved with love through Jesus, and he met our needs. Awesome, awesome picture of love and an awesome picture of compassion as well. And then I was really blessed looking at 1 John 4. We're going to look at that a lot. But, you know, when I get on to looking at how we should be compassionate, God was compassion, Jesus was compassion, we are called to compassion. So when I look at that, I think I'll spend a fair bit of time on 1 John 4, because that's the love chapter. So it's also the compassion chapter. And I loved that. We looked at 1 John 4, I think it was 7-11, but it said love one another at the start, love one another at the end. And in between, we saw God's compassion through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So our love has to be sandwiched around God's love. If we don't understand God's love, we're not going to love. If we don't understand God's compassion, we're not going to be compassionate. So that's kind of what I said last week. Anyway, this week I was planning moving on to looking at the compassion of Jesus, looking at the various acts of compassion. And I was meditating on them at the start of the week, especially about the leper, when we're going to see when Jesus did that ultimate expression of compassion and reached out and touched him. But that's going to be next week. Because as so often, when I'm preparing for a message, I go for a walk on the beach. And I did that on Thursday, and the Lord put me in a different direction. Slightly different direction. Kind of similar, still based around Jesus. So we'll move on to his acts of compassion next week, okay? Maybe. But that's the plan at the minute. So, I'm going to do a little experiment now. And hopefully it'll come off, because the rest of the sermon depends on it. Okay, so I'm moving out in faith here. So in other words, guys, don't let me down. Okay, so think about the Gospels. Think about the Gospel accounts. And I want you to think about three or four stories or accounts or passages about Jesus pre-cross. Okay? So, crucifixion, out your mind. Resurrection, out your mind. Okay? Now that I've said that, that's what you're all thinking about, isn't it? Like bananas. So, think about three or four stories, accounts, passages about Jesus pre-cross. Now, either write them down or keep them in your head. But think about three or four. So, I'll give you a couple of seconds. So three or four accounts about Jesus, stories, whatever. Okay. Now, remember, we're not allowed to shout. But you can speak out. So, Pauline, a couple of accounts of Jesus. What were you thinking about?
Wine and paralytic.
It's a turning water into wine, healing the paralytic. Anybody else, Stuart? Oh, Carol? Carol's putting her hand up, see that? Me, teacher, me. Me, pastor. Sorry. Carol.
The woman at the well.
The woman at the well.
And the Last Supper.
Lazarus in the tomb. Lazarus, oh yes, Lazarus in the tomb.
The centurion.
This is working the way I'd hoped. Evelyn?
Feeding of the
5,000. The dead son being raised.
Touching the
leper. The
pool at Bethesda.
Pool at Bethesda. When the man was healed.
Teaching in parables.
Teaching in parables. Teaching what?
Teaching
who? Teaching the disciples.
Sermon on the Mount.
That'll do. I haven't even got round this. Sorry, guys. One common factor in that. People, and people. Amen. I mean, you just said the woman at the well, the paralytic. You know, the centurion. He just said people's names. Common factor in most of those accounts, well, in all of them, because thankfully none of you spoke about when Jesus went off to pray on his own. But I will get to that. I will get to that. But the common factor, I can safely now say, in all those accounts, is people. With his disciples. Feeding people, teaching people, speaking to individuals. Going deliberately. Needs must, he went through Samaria. No, he didn't. He shouldn't have gone through Samaria. He was a naughty boy. Good Jewish lad. He's a naughty boy. Needs must, he went through Samaria. Healing the masses. Having meals with people. People. Most of the Gospels he's with his disciples. Most of the Gospels he's with people. In relationship. Key for today, and it's probably not a perfect phrase, but Jesus was a people person. I did that thought experiment myself. My favourites. And because I'm the pastor, I wrote down 5. Instead of 3. Because I can do that. Turning water into wine. What was that? That was just a celebration with people. That was about relationships. That was about a wedding. Jesus with a woman at the well. Relationship with another person. Jesus feeding the 5,000 people again. One of my favourites. Jesus with the woman taken in adultery. I mean, I'll probably spend a whole sermon on that one. Talking about compassion. Until I really got into Jesus reaching out and touching the leper, which now is my favourite kind of passage about compassion, that the woman taken in adultery was my compassionate passage. The love, the forgiveness that he showed to that woman in the face of hostility was amazing. But we'll get that. So Jesus reaching out and healing the leper. It's like Sean said last week, one of the biggest things probably for that leper was that Jesus touched him. Because he was an untouchable. Again, Jesus being a naughty boy. Shouldn't touch lepers. They're unclean. Shouldn't be anywhere near them. Jesus was a people person. Go with me to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. No, Vic. Yes, it is. Yes. Yes, I see the verse I'm wanting. Hallelujah. Matthew 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Son of Man. What did Jesus come for? Or rather, who did Jesus come for? Hallelujah. Thank you, Eveline. Eveline is a person. But he came for you, he came for me, he came for us, he came for mankind. He came for people. He came for the good of people, to find people, to save people, to help people. And in order to do that, you need to spend time with people. But Vic, he spent time on his own. Aye, he did. Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, that was after he'd fed them, I remember, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Yes, Jesus did have times on his own. Well, not actually on his own. He had his time away from people, but he wasn't on his own. What was he doing? He was praying with the Father. Spending time with the Father, speaking to the Father. That's what prayer is, praying to the Father. Times of preparation with his Father. Lots of passages in John that I like to use. John 5:19 talks of Jesus doing nothing except to see the Father do. John 5:30 talks of Jesus not operating in his will, but in the will of the Father, and seeking the will of the Father. John 8:29 saying he can only do what pleases the Father. See, when Jesus was alone, when he was alone with the Father in times of prayer, in times of preparation, he was with the Father to get to know what to do next, where to go next, who to see next. In fact, it could have been one of those times of prayer when the Lord told them, you need to go through Samaria tomorrow. You know, it doesn't say that in the Word, but you know, there's only a few times we see Jesus alone speaking to the Father, but we can probably assume he did it thousands of times more. You know? Jesus was alone for time with the Father to prepare for what to do next, where to go next, to be involved with people. So even when he was alone with the Father, he was thinking about people. Even when he was alone, it was for the good of people. He was a people person. Well, Vic, you could say we see him on his own at the cross. No, we don't. Even on the cross, he was relating to a person. It was between two thieves. What did he say? This time, forever, you'll be in paradise. Yeah. Relating to the guy. Even on the cross, he wasn't alone. Even on the cross, he was a people person. There was lots of other people there at the foot of the cross. People who loved him, people who despised him. But there were still people there. Yes, you could say at that ultimate time of him hanging on the cross, he was there on his own. But that was for people. And it was about people. All the time, Jesus was a people person. Now, I know some of you watch The Chosen. Now, it's got a degree of artistic license, obviously. And that's okay. I get that. And to be honest, I really like it. Because the way they portray Jesus, it's as a people person. Yeah. As a mate, as a friend, as a pal of the disciples. I remember the episode, Water into Wine. I'm glad that was the first one that came out, Pauline. You know me, that's my favourite. So turning water into wine. And that, you see Jesus laughing and joking. Now, it doesn't say that in the Word. I know that. But this was a wedding. And I love the way the Chosen portrayed that. He's laughing, he's joking, he's dancing. He was making fun of someone else who was dancing. I can't remember who it was. Was it Matthew?
Peter.
Andrew, Peter. Any advances on Andrew or Peter? Maybe it was Matthew, I don't know. Andrew, so they were making. He was making fun of. Sorry, Nikki will let me know. So he was. I'll look and see. No. So. Who did you say?
Andrew.
So Jesus was making fun of Andrew because of his bad dancing. Like, you don't see that in the Word, but I just love the way he's portrayed in The Chosen as that people person, fun to be with, and a friend. In relationship with people. That's what it is. That's why I like, you know, relating to people, listening to people, talking to people, interacting. That's Jesus was a people person. I was thinking about this as I was preparing communion for Saturday morning. Communion was instigated when? When did Jesus first do communion?
The Last Supper.
The Last Supper. On his own? No, with the disciples. Doing what? Having a meal. Having a meal. Eating. Another one of my favourite things. Hallelujah. Communion was instigated at the Passover meal. And as I was thinking about that, this thought just popped into my head. It was like, and it just said, Jesus ate food with an awful lot of people, didn't he? Yeah. Well, yes, he did. So I thought, just have a quick look. And I had a look in Luke. There's at least 10 accounts of Jesus eating with different people. 10 accounts. And you've got to remember, back then, sharing a meal with someone in that society was one of the most ultimate expressions of relationship. You didn't just have a meal with anybody. You didn't just eat with anybody. But oh no, Jesus did. Sinners, tax collectors, harlots. You know, loads of different people. Yeah, Romans. What have they ever done for us? Hallelujah. You only, back then, you ate with people you knew, loved, respected. Because sharing a table, sharing a meal then, sharing a table with someone was saying, I love you and respect you. It was an expression of friendship, loyalty, trust, all about relationship. You just didn't eat with everybody. Why do we see people, why do we see Jesus eating with lots and lots of different people, different types of people? You know what? Because the first people that read the Bible, or read the Gospels, knew about the importance of the table, knew about the importance of the meal, and it was a picture of relationship. Eating with all types of people, tax collectors, sinners, Romans. Jesus was saying, I love all people. I want relationship with all people. I've come for all people. I'm going to save, or I want to save all people. I should rather say, all people who will accept him. And that's something we've lost in our society, and we just don't get it. Okay, so Jesus sat there and had a meal with somebody. Whoop-de-doo. You know, as I say, we quite often sit down and have meals with other people. Well, nay, in the last 14 months, but we have done. You know, people sit down next to you in a pub or a restaurant or a cafe or whatever. It's something we've lost in our society. Now we eat to live. We eat alone. We eat quickly to get back to what we were doing. We eat in front of the telly. We've lost the meaning of sitting at a table. But it's not lost on the first people that read the scriptures. It's a picture of Jesus wanting to be in relationship with people. And communion was started at a meal. What does communion mean? Well, just look at the word in English. It comes from the word to commune. What does that mean? It's about living together. It's about sharing. That's the dictionary definition. It's all about relationships. And in communion, we remember our relationship with God the Father through Jesus and his finished work. We can remember that and celebrate it. Thank God for it. You know, you hear about people communing with nature. I mean, we've got to be careful that we don't worship the creation and not the creator. But it's great to get out into nature. If you're communing with nature, it's like spending time there, being there, almost in relationship with it in a kind of way. But it's all about relationship and all about people. And I believe what we'll see in the coming sermons is that being a people person, and I'm transferring it onto us now, being a people person combined with love and care turns into compassion. I'm going to probably redefine my definition of compassion and get people person in there somewhere. Because we see him, we see Jesus with people. you guys just told me all the accounts. Every single account you gave me was with a person or with people. He didn't even say Jesus with the centurion, Jesus with it. It was just woman at the well, woman in adultery, centurion. All about people. We'll see him with people. We'll see him loving and caring. We'll see him meeting needs, and we'll start that next week. And what we always need to remember is that as we're looking at God's compassion, as we're looking at Jesus' compassion, we need to remember we are created in his image. We are created to be people, persons. We are created to be in love, created to be compassionate, created to be with people. I remember when I left Diageo, what was it, almost 7 years ago now. It was great. First couple of months, fantastic. It was like being on holiday. You know, because I'd share money came, and I was like a month behind on my salary. So it was a hell month off and a big salary. Fantastic. It's like being on holiday. And I said, it was great. It was like being on holiday again. And then after 3 or 4 months, probably about 4 months, I started to feel strange. A bit low. Just not right. And I realized I was lonely. I wasn't missing work, but I realized I was missing the people from work. I was missing that daily interaction that I'd had for 23 years. Missing that relationship in daily life. Because we're created for relationships. We are created for love, and I believe we are created to be compassionate. I think I've told you this before, but I've realized recently, much to my amazement, that I'm not missing football. I do say that to my amazement. I've not seen my beloved Forest Mechanics play a competitive match for over 14 months. 14 months. I remember I almost bought a car sticker once. But I thought, if I buy this car sticker, I'm not going to be allowed to put it on the car anyway. So I didn't bother. It was a big car sticker in Forest Mechanics colours and said, I couldn't live without Forest Mechanics. Well, I can. But I tell you what I'm missing. My buddies. My friends. That, you know, I stand here. I stand in the same spot every week. Woody stands there. Ennis stands there. Colin stands there. Dougie's just further over a little bit. Everybody stands in exactly the same places. Myself and Woody first stood there about 35 years ago to watch Forest Mechanics. So I'm not missing the football. I'm missing the relationships with people. Interestingly, yesterday I watched the FA Cup final on TV, and I've been hating football on the TV. But last night I actually quite enjoyed it. Why? Because there was people in the crowd. And you could hear people, and it felt different because there was people there. Missing my friends. I've been talking to a lot of people during lockdown, talking to pastors, talking to chaplains about this. And people are having issues. Sean shared, I've shared, Evelyn shared on Thursday night. When we cannot be with other people, when we lose out on relationships, something's just not right. Something's missing. We don't feel right. People have done, and people are having, mental health issues throughout this lockdown. Still having it. Lots of different people, pastors included, chaplains included. Why? Because we are created in his image. He is a people person, and we are designed to be the same way. We're not designed to be hermits. Yeah, saying that, I love being on my own at times. I do, I love it. I love walking on the beach. But my new thing is walking in the forest. My new thing is trees. Don't get me started. Don't get me started on trees. Myself and Nancy have had this conversation. She's just not interested. She's not interested in trees.
I just don't agree with the book.
All right, okay. But trees are amazing. Point to the creator. But never mind. I love being in trees. I love being at the beach on my own. But what I'm finding more and more in these times, I'm not alone. Not alone. I'm with the Lord. I'm meditating on his word. I'm thinking about the sermons. I'm going through what I'm going to say in the sermons. I'm thinking about a passage of scripture. I'm trying to picture it, which I do a lot, especially with Jesus. Try to picture that passage so I can then preach on it. Praying. And you know, when I analysed this yesterday, what's going on, I think, is preparation for being with people. Preparation for ministering to people. I mean, what you get here on a Sunday morning is normally from Findhorn Beach or Blair's Loch Forest or Rose Isle Beach. That's where I do a lot of my prep. Teaching, ministering to people. We're created in his image, created for relationship, created to love and care, created for compassion. Now, I did share a while ago how I didn't get into great detail, but I've had some dark periods during lockdown. And when I got worked through it with the Lord and was chatting to Nunzi and just trying to work through it, I perceived it as a lack of purpose, which was taking me to these dark places. You know, it's lack of purpose. I'd kind of seen, it started with seeing a dad playing with a little kid. And I looked at that and I just thought, that's gone for me now. You know, Jay's here. And Lydia's about here. The granddaughter. So I'd this kind of lack of purpose, and I got to thinking, what's the point? Really honest. What's the point? What's the point in me? What's the point in life? God spoke to me and told me the point, Vic, is to make a difference. Difference in the lives of others. That's the point. And then I got excited, you know, you guys all know I got excited about ticking all them. About repairing the world, about restoring the world, and by doing that, by helping people. And he said, your purpose, Vic, is to do your bit to repair the earth. And we do that help by helping people. That's the point. God said, that's why you're here, Vic, to make the world a better place while you're in it. And a better place, not a better place once you're out of it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The world's going to be a fantastic place when I'm out of it. because of what I've done, Sean. Thank you. That didn't sound right. You know, I want people to think the world's a better place because that man was in it. Amen. And that's what God told me the purpose was. That's the point. Why am I telling you that? Because that's compassion. That's having love for others. That's caring for others. That's seeing a need. And then meeting that need, that's what Tikkun Olam is. That's how we repair the world. We find people with needs and we fulfill those needs. We meet those needs. Make the world a better place. And that helped me, that lifted me up. I've got now to go to 1 John 1. I'm not sure why. I've kind of spoken on that already, haven't I? 1 John 1, 4. Let's just read it again from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. See, there's the Tikkun Olam coming in. There's the point. That's our point. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because we're created in his image and he's love. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Love one another, love one another, with God in the middle. Compassionate God, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. This passage has been on my mind most of the week. It's about loving one another. And we're commanded to do that as loving, caring, compassionate people, as a people person. We should be loving one another. But not just one another. This is actually written to Christians. This is talking about the church. But in Mark, Jesus goes a little bit further. So Mark 12. Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus, hearing him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself.' There is none other commandment greater than these." We are commanded to love. The commandments that Jesus gave us, we are commanded to love. First God, and then everyone else. Are you sure it's everyone else, Vic? Yeah, because it says your neighbour. Everyone in this world is your neighbour. You're living in the same place. You know, it's not just the folk in your street, or wee village, hamlet, town, country. No, it's the whole world. What Jesus is saying, you need to love God, you need to love everyone else. And that's a commandment. And he said, well, Vic, you keep telling us we don't have to do works. That sounds a bit work-orientated. You know, you keep telling us we don't have to do things. And now you're telling I've got to do this? Well, I'm not telling you. I think the scripture is. But go to John 6, because that's the one I keep using when I say there's nothing for you to do. And remember, I always quantify that. There's nothing you need to do to make God love you. There's nothing you need to do to be forgiven. There's nothing you need to do for God to love you more. There's nothing you need to do for God to make you righteous. There's always those conditions. John 6, 28. "Then said they unto him, 'What shall we do that we might work the works of God?'" What is it we're going to do? What are our works? Well, you might think, love the Lord your God and love everyone else. Because that's what Jesus says later on. But Jesus answered and said unto him, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." Yes, that is what I keep telling you all the time. You just need to believe on Jesus. You need to believe on Jesus, who he is, who he was, who you forever will be, what he's done, what we have in Christ and through Christ, on our true identity in Christ. And you know what, guys? You know what happens as you learn more and more about that? Do you know what happens as you understand that more and more? We love more. We're more compassionate. We become a people person. More compassionate. That's what I'm looking around this room. I'm not going to make eye contact, but that's what I can see in some people in this room. That's what I can see in my life. Many of you might not have known me 10, 15, 20 years ago. Some of you might have. But I wasn't a very compassionate at all back then. It was career. Going to get up and up that ladder, higher and higher. But what I've seen is, the more we know and understand about Jesus, the more like him we become. And he is love. He is compassion. That's what I've seen in people. That's what I've seen in my life. I have told you, I've been really honest in this series, how I want to be more compassionate because I don't think I'm compassionate enough. And probably a really good trait for a pastor might be having a decent bit of compassion. Yeah? What do you think? Would that be nice? But what I've seen is, I'm not condemning myself. I know I need to be more compassionate, especially with certain groups of society. But I know I'm more compassionate now than I was 10, 15, 20 years ago. Why? Because I've got a greater understanding of grace. I've got a greater understanding about Jesus. I know more about new covenant truths in the Word. I know about my righteousness. I know how much I've been forgiven. I know how much he loves me. I know how much he loves you. And that has transformed me in a good way. Now, I need some more transformation. So I need to understand more. But I've seen that in my life and I've seen it in other people's lives. We need to be a people person in order for compassion to shine through. And Jesus was that people person. And we are created in his image. You know, I'm going to use the should word. We should all be a people person. I keep hearing in my head we should be people. That doesn't sound right. But it's probably grammatically correct, is it? We should be a people that love people. And I keep telling you, you're a peculiar people. But we should be a loving people as well. Oh, you're saying we're not loving. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's like me, I'm not saying I'm not compassionate. I'm saying I could be a bit more compassionate. I'm not saying you're not loving. I'm saying we could all be a bit more loving. We could all be a bit more caring. We could all want to repair the world a bit more. We could all want to restore the world a bit more. We should be a people person, loving and caring. And guys, the good news is we can be. Because there's a process, and it's a biblical process in place that can help us to become a people person. More loving, more caring, therefore more compassionate. Well, how are you going to do that, Vic? Well, it's the same way as I teach you about everything else. I'm going to just teach you about Jesus. I'm just going to tell you about grace. Tell you about our righteousness. Tell you about his forgiveness. Tell you about our reconciliation. Tell you about what Jesus did. And as we renew our mind, through those truths, we'll be transformed. Amen. And we'll start that next week by looking at Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome.